Greetings to you in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and this is my week to share in the Daily Inspiration, and this is the first day. I hope you're able to listen all 7 days this week, and what I'm going to talk about this week is about God is able. Has anyone ever heard those words? Have you read those words? God is able. Do you believe those words? God is able. And do you express those words with full confidence that they are true? God is able. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego expressed those words. They said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And I think you probably know the story where King Nebuchadnezzar had made this big idol out of gold, and people were supposed to bow down and worship this thing. Well, these three young Hebrew men said, "We're not going to bow down to this thing, even if it costs us our life, but we believe that God is able to deliver us." And, of course, the punishment was the burning fiery furnace. And you know the story there. They could have been delivered from going into that furnace, but they didn't. God allowed them to be put into that fiery furnace, but he was with them in there. If you remember, King Nebuchadnezzar said, "We threw three people in there, but I see four, and the one looks like the son of God." And it was, I believe, it was the Lord Jesus with them in the fire. And he will be with us. He'll either deliver us from our trials and temptations, or he will be with us in those trials and temptations. But they believe that God was able to deliver them. But even if he didn't deliver them from the fiery furnace, he was going to deliver them out of the king's hands, even if they died in the furnace. But they weren't going to worship that golden image. So they had this confidence that God was able, and they were able to express that even to the sake of their own life. They were able to express that to the king. Another example would be King Darius. When Daniel was cast into the lion's den, he came that next morning looking or wondering if Daniel was alive still yet or not. And he said, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" And of course, we know what happened there too. God shut the mouths of the lions. He was able to deliver Daniel out of the mouth of the lions and out of the hand of those who wanted to destroy Daniel. And so God's able to do that for you, and he's able to do that for me. But what is God able to do? Well, isn't it true that he's able to do anything? Nothing is too difficult for God. Jesus said, "With God all things are possible." And the angel Gabriel told Mary, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." So Jesus said, with God all things are possible, and the angel told Mary, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." When Jesus walked on this earth, he did many impossible things. He multiplied the loaves and fishes. He walked on the sea. He discovered the tribute money. Told Peter about going and getting the fish, and when you find the fish, open it up, you're going to find the money in there to pay our taxes. He spoke to a fig tree that withered up and died. He stilled the tempest. He turned water into wine. He healed all manner of diseases, and he raised the dead. He gave hearing to the deaf, and he changed people's lives. He gave sight to the blind. Matthew 9:28 talks about Jesus and two blind men. Jesus said to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." And if you remember, Jesus said that kind of thing to many people. He said, "Do you believe that I can heal you, or do you believe in me?" And then he said, "You know, it's according to your faith." It's like you did here. But in this account with these two blind men, he said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I can do this for you? Am I able?" And they said, "Yes, we believe." And he touched their eyes and they were healed. they had their sight. So God is able. But what does the Bible say he is able to do? Well, it's certainly not limited to what the Bible says he is able to do. But we can know for sure that he is able to do those things he said he can do. Does that make sense? It's not certain, or it certainly is not limited to what the Bible says he is able to do. But we can know for sure that he is able to do those things that he says he can do. And what I want to do in these 7 days, today and the next 6 days, is I want to look at 7 things that the New Testament says God is able to do. The first one is we're going to take out of Luke chapter 3, and we're going to start in the middle of verse 2. It says, that's Luke chapter 3, verse 2. "The word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country round about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that," here it is, "that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So verse 8 says that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Well, is God able to make children of Abraham out of stones? Now, John was baptizing there in the river, and I'm sure when he said that, he pointed to some stones along the riverbank. God is able of these stones, all these stones, hundreds of stones, and, you know, some riverbanks are pretty free of stones, but some riverbanks are full of stones, and they're just ordinary old stones, round a lot of times because of the way it is around riverbanks and with the water washing over them or whatever, I don't know, but they're just ordinary stones. And did God ever raise up children, people, and believers, or of people of faith, out of river stones? Well, I don't see that in the Bible that he literally did that, but it says that he's able to do that. Well, we see in the Old Testament how he took a valley of dry bones. These were just a bunch of dead bones on the ground, and he actually, you know, it was probably from a battle or something. People died there. These bones are just laying on the ground. They're all bleached out, and God was able to raise up people out of that. He put flesh on them, and he gave them life again. So God's able to do that. But did he ever do it for stones, with stones? Well, I believe he did, but I believe the stones were figurative for Gentiles who would be brought into the church. all those Old Testament prophecies for the salvation of the Gentiles, that the heathen would be saved, and many Old Testament prophecies. I believe that was on God's mind when he gave those words to John the Baptist to say, out of these, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So, if you notice the wording, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. You can be a Jew because of being a descendant of Abraham. But this new covenant that God was establishing here, this new covenant with new promises and a new king, this kingdom of God that he was establishing here is different. Your bloodlines are not going to save you. It's not going to be because you're a son of Abraham that you're going to be part of this new covenant, part of this new kingdom. And it's the same way today. We can't be born again. We can't be saved because our parents are Christians, or because we go to a good church, or because we even live a good lifestyle. It's because of having faith in God, and we're going to see that here a little bit later, and in believing in Jesus and the blood that was shed for our sins. So God was ushering in a new covenant. This, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to be revealed. John is laying the pathway for the Messiah to come. And if we turn over to verse 15 of the same chapter, Luke chapter 3, said, as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ, they were in expectation to see the Messiah, to have the Christ be revealed. John was proclaiming that he was coming. John answered, said unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. John was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached many things unto the people there. But the point is here is that this new covenant, this Messiah was coming, and that was he was coming for the Jews, but then he's also coming for the Gentiles. At that point, maybe they didn't know that yet. People didn't know that for sure. And even the Gentiles weren't coming to get baptized. It was the Jews that were coming to get baptized of John and the River Jordan. So back to the stones. Were stones ever used to represent people? In the Bible, were stones ever used to represent people? Well, they were. In Exodus 39:14, it says, and the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engraving of a signet, every one with his name according to the 12 tribes. Now, this was on the breastplate of the priest. He was to have these 12 precious stones, and it even gives the names of those stones, the onyx and the beryl and the emerald, and all these precious stones were to be on the breastplate, and each one of them represented one of the tribes of the children of Israel. So stones were represented stones were used to represent people. But these stones along the riverbank were not precious stones. They were just ordinary river stones, just nothing valuable about them at all. Well, this is the beauty of this whole passage, because if you remember when Jesus, there was a woman who, a Syrophoenician woman, I think, and she would have been a Gentile, and she wanted healing, and maybe it was for her daughter or something. I don't remember. I just read it not too long ago in the book of Matthew. But she wanted some healing or some touch from Jesus. And he said, it's not my meat to give food to the dogs. I've come to the house of Israel. That's what he said. And she says, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And he saw her faith and he healed her. And this is the beauty of this whole thing about these ordinary river stones. They weren't the precious stones like the children of Israel. They were just ordinary dogs. That's me, and that's you probably, unless you're a Jew listening here today, which is very possible. But if you're a Gentile, it was just about us. These ordinary river stones. God is able of these ordinary river stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Just us ordinary sinful Gentiles. Those of us who were dead in trespasses and sins. And when Peter was talking about the church, including the Gentile believers, he called them lively stones. Stones who became children of Abraham. That's in 1 Peter 2:2-11. So we are those stones that God raised up, or if you're not born again yet, you're not a children of Abraham, but a child of Abraham. But that's what he was talking about here. Gentiles who would be raised up as children of Abraham. It says that in Galatians 3, there's many passages we could look at there in Galatians 3, but it talks about this faith. Who has the faith of Abraham are the children of Abraham. In verse 29, it says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I'd encourage you to read Galatians 3 and even the whole book of Galatians, not very long, and see how he brings out that it's those who have the faith of Abraham are the children of Abraham, not just the bloodline anymore, not the bloodline, but those who have the faith like Abraham had. So he was able to raise up children of Abraham from the Gentiles. So if anyone here today, you're listening, and you're not a son or daughter of Abraham, you can be. If you are not born again and part of the family of God, you can be. God is able. He's able to save your soul and to deliver you from the dung heap and make you a child of Abraham who has faith like Abraham did. So that's the daily inspiration for this morning. We're gonna go tomorrow and look at another verse that talks about God being able. And it also has to do with salvation. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in. And look forward to meeting with you again tomorrow.